So we are on lesson 7. So I want to talk about a big idea before we get started, because I think that when you are trying to get started, all of it seems overwhelming. You know, it's like, okay, I know I need to have content. I need to send something to my list. I need social media content. I need to be blogging. I mean, it all seems to be so much stuff. And the reality of it is so much stuff. So I want to plant the seed and maybe an idea for you that will help you skinny up all the pieces and let you approach your content from a place of clarity and not a place of overwhelm. Even though the pieces and parts of all of this may seem a little overwhelming for you, it's not going to be as hard if you grasp this idea and you run with it. So the big idea that I really want to focus in on is the concept of repurposing. And you know, everybody talks about it, but nobody usually approaches it from a place of intention and a plan. So that's kind of what I want to focus in on today is, you know, how do you take one intentional piece of content and do amazing things with it? How do you turn it into something you can send to your list? How do you use that same content for your social media platforms and all of the pieces? So it's what I call the repurpose to freedom model, because like I said, it's so frustrating to try to do all of this. And if you're a solo person, it's almost impossible today to do all of the things that have to be done. Well, I say that loosely, half is such a strong word. All the things that you could be doing to attract people to you, there's just no way to do it all. And that's one of the reasons we fall into the shiny object syndrome, or we get sidelined by things that people tell us are easy, instead of just doing things that are proven and will get you results. I've been there myself. So the concept of it is, you know, really focusing in on that one great idea and then repurposing that content. So I'll give you an example. My Marketing That Grows Your Business show, we create, obviously we do an interview, and it doesn't necessarily have to be an interview. It could be you sharing 3 great tips. You don't even have to go live to do this, by the way. You could just sit down in front of your camera and record yourself sharing 3 pieces of three ways to do why. Every one of us has expertise that we can share if we just think about it for a hot second. And you know, whatever that looks like for you, again, doesn't necessarily require you to go live with it. Although I will tell you that live is probably one of the most beneficial things you could do for your business. But again, focusing back on the strategy of using that one piece of content. So on Mondays, my Marketing That Grows Your Business show. What? Come here. You went up here. Say hey to everybody. Say hey. Oh, goodness. he's getting very vocal. So we repurpose that, and I have 3 different strategies with it. One is what I call the full play, meaning, hey, that was an awesome interview, and let's run the full play on that. You know, let's turn it into a blog post. Let's turn it into social media post. So literally we can take one piece of content and turn it into, 50 to 100 pieces of content, sometimes depending on, you know, how deep down the repurpose trail we go. So let me explain. We'll take snippets out of the video, you know, like we'll highlight great things that the speaker said. We'll take what we call tweetable moments, meaning quotable things that everybody says. We all say them. And so we will, of course, keeping my train of thought is a little crazy, y'all. So, but we'll do the tweetable moments, meaning kind of like things we say, great, like things, in the normal course of stuff, when we're talking, we say zingers, you know, that's such a great thing. And instead of us like trying to source somebody else's quotes, we can actually use our own. And, or if you have a guest style show, you could also, you know, to pull their zingers, their quotable moments, essentially. And then we turn those individual pieces of content instead of hunting and pecking for, you know, Albert Einstein's famous quotes. So, so pulling those snippets, we create Instagram stories, all of it. In fact, if you go to any of all of my social platforms, you'll be able to see this in action, because we have, you know, we use some of the video snippets on Instagram, IGTV, or IGTV, obviously Instagram. We do the visual components, the visual quote tiles, the snippets, all of it. And you'll be able to see that. The interesting part about this is that it gives me and the team the opportunity to have one, repurpose that content in multiple ways, and leverage that one piece of content instead of like trying to figure out what else we're going to share, like, right. And that has really, helped tremendously. And everybody that actually does this, it streamlines it, and then it streamlines your content creation process. Maybe that's the best way of saying it. And guess what? Yes, I do send I invite my list to the live show. I make sure that they know that there's a replay. If there's a blog that comes out of it, obviously they have access, you know, we use that and send to them. So there's a lot of different ways that we leverage that one piece of content and then push it out to the list in ways that matter. You know, some people aren't necessarily interested in showing up to the live show, right? But they would like to know the content, so they read the blog. It gives people different touch points. They may see a piece of it, a snippet of it on IGTV, or they may see it on LinkedIn, and engage with that content in, you know, just a part of it. And then we use those smaller pieces of content to drive traffic back to the main interview. So that is it's a big idea, but you may be thinking, well, I don't know if I can do all that, but I promise you, if you even do a piece of it, you'll be in a better place than trying to source all kinds of different things and trying to figure out how you're going to do it all, et cetera, because this meets a huge need on literally everything from a one piece of video content can flow down from there. So I shared before that we have what I call the full play. Like, that is so good. That was such a great interview. Let's do the whole shebang. And then some of it is the half play, where that was okay, but I don't know if I want to write a blog around that. So, you know, let's just pull the snippets and we'll do the quote tiles and, you know, that kind of stuff, but let's not do the whole thing. And then sometimes the interviews, honestly, just, they aren't awesome. They kind of stink. And I feel like sometimes, I'll just give you a quick example. One time we had a great, the guy was super knowledgeable, but I felt like it was probably over the heads of my community, considerably over their heads. So I was like, ugh. Let's just do a little bit on that one, not go the whole Monty on that one. So the point of it is that some of your content you'll feel more comfortable with, and some of it you will be like, well, that was okay, but it's not awesome. And then sometimes you just know you nailed it. And when you nail something, you know, go all out and repurpose it instead of hoping that somebody's going to bump into it. And this gives you, you know, an opportunity to really take advantage of one time block too. You know, you spend the time to create the content, and then, you know, you just leverage it. And there's some great tools out there that help you repurpose. I'll drop in some tools for you guys if anybody is interested in the repurposing model, because the point of it is to use a small block of time to create a piece of content that you can repurpose over into, or break out into multiple pieces of content. And like I say, there's some great tools. Repurpose.io comes to mind, but there's actually a better one. I can't think of the name of it right now, but I'll make sure I get it to you guys. Okay, so going back to that, how do you come up with that one great idea though? If you're gonna run with that model, how do you come up with a great idea? And sometimes it can be a simple thing. Sometimes you may feel like you want to dig into it a little bit more, find out what your audience wants and they'll connect with. But that's really what spawns the whole process. That's the way I do it with the show is, you know, who out there has some knowledge that my community would love. And then, you know, are they going to want that knowledge? So I always look at it from that perspective too. I find this to be true, and I would be interested if you guys feel free to drop in if you do this, but I sometimes, not recently, because we haven't been out and about a lot, but like if we are, you know, on a road trip or if we're driving across town for dinner or whatever, I'm always looking, my head's kind of on a swivel, and I look at you know, the billboards, I look at the signs, I look at everything because I find that I get ideas from that. And you literally never know when that opportunity is going to strike if you are, you know, constantly looking. So write it down is my point. I use, you know, if you're on your computer or your laptop and you see something, so I'll give you another example. I frequently do this, don't tell my husband, but you know, sometimes of the evening while we'll be watching TV, I'm not really watching TV, but I pretend I'm watching TV. I'm hanging out, you know, watching TV with my husband and I'm on my devices, you know, doing something. So if I see something, you know, that interests me, like if I'm checking my email, this is a perfect example. If I'm checking my email and a subject line grabs my attention, I just grab that subject line and we have a Google Doc that we drop those things into. Cause you never know when you're going to you want to use something that's similar or maybe even use the same subject line. Right. And if it grabs my attention, that's usually an indicator to me that my ideal person would probably, it would resonate with them too. So I write everything down and you can use a couple of different tools. You can use a Dropbox. You can do, from a collection standpoint, Evernote, Google Docs, Dropbox, you know, keep your folder. One of the things about Dropbox is kind of cool. I don't personally use Dropbox for this purpose, but I know some do. So I always include it in case somebody does, is that sync with your computer. So, you know, if you have a document on your computer that you're using for your ideas, it'll sync automatically if you have it set up that way. I use Evernote a lot. We use Google Docs a lot internally as well because it's a collaborative environment. But I do all my note taking for my Marketing That Grows Your Business show inside of Evernote. So write it down. Even keep a pad beside your bed if you know you need to. I once heard an interview with someone and they said they had the markers that you can wash off, and they actually have markers in their shower because they get their best ideas in the shower. I find that sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I have a great idea. And, you know, if I don't have a pad and a paper beside me, I wake up the next morning and I'm like, I remember I had a great idea, but I can't for the life of me remember what the great idea was. So if that's you, then, you know, make sure you put, you know, a pad and a piece of paper beside you. And I use my phone. Like I was saying before, we're driving down the road and I see something on a billboard, my notes section is crazy. It needs some organization, honestly, because it's out of control. But if you know, if you have an Android, there is some variation of notes on an Android as well, but I use the notes feature on my iPhone and it's, like I say, it's a little out of control, but I make notes if I see something, and that's true if I'm even surfing on social, you know, if I'm surfing and I see something, sometimes even images, you know, I'll snag those and I'm like, oh, that's really good. I like that. So write those things down. And there is a kind of a process there's lots of processes actually. In fact, one of the things that I'm going to give you guys today is 50 ways to create, let's see, what's it called? Hang on. Don't have it in front of me. Anyway, I'm going to give you guys a whole bunch of resources, tools, et cetera, to come up with ideas. Okay. So just know that that is coming. It's going to be something, in fact, it's already in your resources area. So feel free to open that up. But sourcing ideas from others is something that I think is super smart. When I say others, primarily I would suggest others that are serving, in fact, most of the time, I think this is true. You want to source ideas from people who are serving your ideal client or customer, right? Because if they are, if they are serving your person, then it stands to reason that a lot of the content that they create could be something that is going to be really attractive to your person too. Now, keep in mind that I said source, not steal or even, borrow. In other words, don't totally rip somebody's ideas off. But the point of it is there's really nothing new under the sun. So if somebody wrote a blog post on, Facebook ads, for example, I don't feel like I can't write a blog around Facebook ads because somebody else did, or like, a thousand other people did, right? That's not what I mean. Because obviously in that case, there's no boundaries on stuff like that. How would you talk? In other words, if I'm going to share about Facebook ads, I would approach it from my perspective. If somebody else is, going to be talking about Facebook ads, they're going to share it from their perspective. There's only so many ways you can share the same thing, right? But really paying attention to what other people are saying or doing is really what I'm trying to say here. Listening and observing has never been easier. You can really check out things like your competitors' Facebook pages, their Twitter, their blog. If you see something that really strikes you as gold, then just write it down, especially if you feel it's good and it's getting good engagement. That's another thing. If somebody's serving your ideal client and you see that they've shared something that, you can connect on and resonate with, and it's getting good engagement, then jot that down, save that idea, because you can circle back to it at a later point in time. And then automating, the process. This is another thing that I think is smart in the context of, idea sourcing ideas. There's several tools out there. There's Feedly. I mean, there's a bunch of tools, but I'm just going to mention a couple of my favorite. If I have a blog that I like to keep updated on, and I want to see what their blog titles are and stay up to date on things, which is very needed for me. I need to make sure that I know what's happening in the social media space, what's the newest and latest kind of stuff. So definitely setting up Feedly, you can pull in published blogs. Like if a competitor is, that way when a competitor publishes a new blog, you'll get notified. So it's a way to not have to hunt and peck for stuff consistently. And everything comes into your email. It's a wonderful little tool. My other tool of choice, and I've talked to the PDF to Profit students before about BuzzSumo, and I think we've even discussed it. I think we might have definitely in PDF to Profit, but BuzzSumo is a free to paid tool. The free option might be enough, but honestly, this tool is invaluable. And in my opinion, it's worth the investment, but it is a little pricey. And if you can't swing it, if it's not in your budget, then just use at least the free side of it. It basically allows you to search using a key phrase and pull up all the top content. So if you want to know, if you're, I'll go back to the Facebook ads example. If I want to know what the top performing Facebook ads blog posts were, then I would go over to BuzzSumo and I would say, Facebook ads for business or something like that. And it would pull up all of the blog content for that particular key phrase. And then I would be able to see the most engaged piece of content around that. So one, who had that piece of content? Was it Social Media Examiner? Was it Social Media Today? Who had that piece of you know, top content. I can go look at it. I can check it out. And it's a way not only to validate your idea, but to also check out your competition, see what they're doing, what they're saying, that kind of stuff. So it's a really good little tool. I use it literally daily for a variety of different things. Not only does it, not only can you use it in this context, but there's some other really clever things that you can use it for as well. Okay. So next up, ask and listen. So a lot of times people will say, well, yeah, that's a given, but then they don't. You would think that you wouldn't have to tell people, you know, that they needed to do it, but it's incredible that people, I've done it, so I'm not throwing a stone here. I've certainly done it where I just assume that I know and I don't, you know, I don't stop and listen. But if you have a list, you know, you could send out an email and ask, you know, what are your pain points? How can I better serve you? How can I help you? What questions do you have? You can, if you don't have an email list already, then use your social platforms. You know, post on Facebook or Twitter or any of your social platforms. You know, using Instagram stories. I've seen a lot of people do this, and they work because not only do you get people to respond, but you know, you can send them to a DM where you can have a more robust conversation with them. You know, you can even send them an audio file, you know, record something and send it to them using Instagram DMs. So, you know, ask and then be open to whatever comes back. And, you know, that there is no better way, honestly, of getting great ideas than just asking your community if you have one already. And if you, like I say, if you don't have a list, use your social communities. You can also go into Facebook groups and do this if you're just starting and you really don't have a great social media community yet either. Find some great Facebook groups, pay attention, put a question out there. Like, this is what I do. This is how I, this is the transformation I want to affect. I think there's some people in here that I could help. What are you struggling with? You know, just ask. I mean, obviously do it in a way that doesn't come across self-promotional, because this is all about them and it's not about you. So make sure that however you word it, it's about that from that perspective. Okay, so the questions are pure gold. And there's a reason that questions are, one, you can answer them. That's right. That seems like the obvious. and sometimes you have to understand, and I've said this a couple of times, when your ideal person is a previous version of you, you've got to keep in mind that where you are now is not where you have always been. And sometimes you'll think to yourself, man, that is a silly question. Like, oh man, I can't believe somebody doesn't know that. There is no such thing as a stupid question to someone who wants to know something that they don't know. And you have to be very cognizant of that when you open yourself up and look at it from that perspective, because people do have questions and sometimes they don't know them. I mean, when I started my business, so many years ago, 29 years ago, golly, seems so long ago. I didn't know that there was such a thing as cutting and pasting. I've come a long way, but sometimes I have to remind myself that, yeah, girl, you didn't always know what you know, right? So don't forget that when it comes to your questions and answering those. You know, if multiple people are asking the same or similar questions, then that usually indicates that that is a great content idea. Now, when I say that their questions are pure gold from a couple of perspectives, they are. When it comes to blog content in particular, or even any resource that is search-based, so that would include YouTube, hint, hint. YouTube and Google in particular are search-based. People find you through your content and how you optimize your content. Which means that you don't have to have, you know, a bunch of email subscribers necessarily yet, because you're going to focus in on that as you grow. People are finding your content through how they're searching for you, right? So when people think about how people search for content, people search for content in question form. Oh, so many times. In fact, I bet you if you stopped and looked at how you search in the Google machine or even on YouTube, you're looking for things, how to's, right? How to do a Facebook ad, how to write a better blog post, how to whatever it is, right? So when you answer those questions and frame it up in that, like somebody asks you, well, I get this question a lot. Quick example, because I just did this yesterday. What is the difference between Canva and Easel? Okay, so I could actually write a blog post on that. Because people, I'm not the only one who's asking that question. You know, how many of you guys have ever searched for two tools and you put in Easel versus Canva, right? Or if somebody says, well, how do I do a carousel ad on Facebook? Again, if I get that question a lot, then that is an opportunity to answer that question. And literally the title of my blog would be how to create a Facebook carousel ad. Because that's how people are searching. So when you really embrace the concept and the power behind questions, and then write your headline to answer, you know, just to frame up the question, and then solve it, obviously, using your content. And that could be video content. It could be blog content, either or, essentially. And you also want to open up the opportunity to let people ask you questions. So I've done this a couple of times on Instagram because it makes it super easy and it's engaging. And I've had some amazing conversations through DMs using this strategy. So I'll just put a little ask out, like, you know, got a question I can help with, ask away. And then I'll answer those questions. You know, every time I use this strategy, I get amazing feedback and a ton of great ideas to write about. And go to the Google machine and type in something you do is also an idea. You know, if you're thinking about, if somebody asks you a question, go do a little research on it and see what comes up. That's another strategy. I actually love that. And then go down to the little section at the end that gives you other ideas. You know, other search terms, because you may find that your question is better worded. You know, how are other people searching for things? So this is another, you know, again, just from a standpoint of how people are searching for content, use the Google machine to validate sometimes that concept. All right. And then my fourth strategy for you is using SlideShare. Now, very few people use this strategy, in my humble opinion, but they're missing out. It is a goldmine for content ideas. There are tons of PowerPoint decks that people have created for presentations of some sort or the other on SlideShare. SlideShare is owned by LinkedIn. Hint, hint. If you're over on LinkedIn and you're really trying to get connected there, that's a whole other strategy. You know, uploading content to SlideShare and sharing it on LinkedIn is another strategy. I won't go down that road too deep, but just hinting at it a little bit because it does work. But they're literally, like I said, there's so much content there. You know, maybe they're speaking at an event, and they've uploaded their slides, or they're just sharing great content and they want it to be visual and easy for people to consume. So you can pop in a key phrase or a keyword search in your area of expertise and, like, voila, you know, you'll have a whole bunch of content ideas show up for you. Way I usually do it is, once I've done my keyword phrase, I usually search by, or sort, that's a better way of saying it, sort by popularity. And you'll be amazed by the most popular ones are, you know, really great ideas or subjects that are resonating, most within your area of expertise, which again, that's a way to validate that that's a super good idea, from a content creation standpoint. Either way, you really win because you have the starting point for expanding what's proven to work in your related but unique idea, right? So it does work. Another strategy is publications. I love this strategy. I use this quite frequently. Like quick example, I not only do I use it for content idea generation, but I use it probably more for headlines, whether it's a email subject line or it's sometimes it's even naming an offer or definitely subject. I think I said subject lines already, but it's a great way to do word exchange with proven headlines, I guess, is the best way of saying it. Some of the best headline writers in the world work for some of these companies, right? So I am a big fan of this strategy, you know, using magazine covers and again, helping to write great headlines. This is an interesting stat, and I really want to key in on this. 8 out of 10 people will read your headline, but only 2 out of 10 are going to click on it. So if you don't have that great headline and arguably even a great subject line, you're not going to get people to open up your emails. So your subject lines are going to be really important. And I use the term headline and interchangeably because a headline is honestly anything where you're trying to grab attention, whether it's a headline for your sales page, whether it is a subject line, whether it's an offer title, it's all got the same end goal, which is grab their attention so that they'll continue down the journey with you. You know, whether it's reading a blog post or it's reading your sales page or whether it's opening an email, they all have the same end goal in mind. So I use that term with broad implications, I guess. All right. So when I say using magazine covers, what high profile magazine covers are top of the pile for your niche? So, you know, if you're in the business space, maybe it's entrepreneur.com, you know, every niche has, you know, publications of some sort. Now, and then I just go, I literally go to the Google machine. I type in entrepreneur.com covers and all the covers come up. I look at the images, I click on images. I look at the images and I see what resonates with me. You know, what do I think? Here's one down here. It says, what's your sweet spot? Okay, so maybe you take that concept and say, well, what's your sweet spot when it comes to Facebook ads or, you know, whatever it is. You grab the concept and you do what I call word exchange, so that it matchy-matchies with your niche. So big fan of magazine covers and leveraging them smartly. And also encourage you to check out digital magazines because one, it's easier in this day and age in some cases to take a look if we're sitting on the couch at night or whatever, you know, watching TV, taking a look at the digital magazines. In some cases, the digital magazines don't have physical publications either. So definitely check some of those out. Founder, if you're in the business space, is a great resource. Now, one of the things I'm giving to you guys today is the how to come up with 50 content ideas in 30 minutes or less. Now, this is got tons of ideas and resources and things that you can get down some rabbit holes. Okay. But the reason for giving this to you is not so you chase a lot of rabbits. It's so you find a couple of resources that you like and that you can consistently use. Don't try to use all of them. Okay. Don't even worry about trying to use all the strategies that I give you. Pick a couple of things that resonates or pick a couple of resources and you're like, okay, this is good. I can use this. And then stick with that. Okay. Don't feel like otherwise you'll be chasing some rabbit trails and you'll waste a lot of your time and energy and you won't get things done, which is defeating the whole purpose. But definitely take a look at this, pull out a couple of things. You know, there's a couple of resources, a couple of web-based things where you can go and check out your ideas, that kind of stuff, or source ideas even. But don't spend a ton of time on it. Just, you know, pick a couple of things. And again, I like this thing. This is cool. I'm going to use this going forward. You can always circle back later and look at some of the other strategies too. And then tomorrow, we're going to be really keen in on putting a plan together. You know, we've talked about content ideas today, but we're going to start matching up those content ideas to a structure. Now, what I did do is I put together, I've got a plan for you guys that you'll get tomorrow, and I've got an example plan for you. And then I've got a blank calendar that you can, you know, match up by week. It's based on a weekly plan for an entire year. And you can, of course, use some of the ideas that I have put into the calendar, or you can come up with your very own ideas, whatever makes the most sense for you. The ideas that I have put in here are geared mostly towards building relationships with your list, which means that you're more than likely definitely going to want to intersperse some of your own stuff. But this will be a great starting point, and we'll work on this tomorrow. And let me get myself pulled back up here. Whoa, this hair is like all over the place today. All right. So Danette is, I see Danette has a question. She says, you may have said this already and I missed it. BuzzSumo looks awesome, but the price point doesn't fit my monthly budget. Do you have another? I think you can, for the most part, and I won't, this may not always hold true, but the free version of BuzzSumo does give you limited insight, Danette. And if you are only using it to find like the top 10 blogs around a specific thing, then the free version will be totally fine for you. I use it for a lot of other stuff, and it, you know, makes sense to pay for it. But if it's not in your budget, then use just the free version of it, because it will give you a baseline, especially when it comes to the top performing content. So if you're searching for, you know, but you want to make sure that you are sure what you're searching for before you go use it. Okay. Oh, so they don't have a free version anymore. Well, I'm sorry I gave you guys misinformation. So only the 7-day free trial. You know, Rhonda, what we should do? We should reach out to them and see if they won't give my people a great deal. Let's do that. It won't hurt to ask. All they can do is say no, right? So Vicki is asking, I have an opportunity to speak at a local networking event or a group. Ask me to prepare a PowerPoint. Is it tacky to withhold the PowerPoint until after I've spoken, or even worse, use it to capture audience emails? No, you should absolutely use it. Or there's two strategies when it comes, because obviously I do this a lot when I go speak. I want to make sure that I'm capturing the audience if at all possible, right? So, You could put your opt-in, your PowerPoint on an opt-in page, and they could go download it if you wanted to do that. My suggestion though is, and this again is just my personal take on it. If you guys disagree, that's okay too. I've seen some people will upload their PowerPoints to SlideShare, you know, but there's no, you know, that's just open source, right? That just gives them the opportunity to go take, to go consume the content without a capture, a way to capture them. A better strategy, in my opinion, is to offer something free that is in alignment with your talk. So I'll give you an example. In October, I think it was October, I spoke at an event over in Orlando. It was for network marketers. And I spoke about building community. I spoke about how to create contagious content for social media, essentially. And so I gave the presentation, and then at the end, I gave them a 30-day calendar of contagious content that was pre-designed for them already. All they had to do is go, pop in their email address, and they would get a calendar of 30 days worth of content, contagious content that had been proven. Because I've already used it myself to use on their social platforms. And there was like 3,000 people at this event, and over 900 people opted in to that. So it was very effective. So my suggestion, that would be my suggestion, because one, if somebody is there and they're listening to your content, they're not, it's not like they're just like, they can't, they're lined up just to get your PowerPoint presentation, right? But if you have something that's value-based, that's in the same lane as what you're talking about, then yeah, they are lined up. They do want that. They would, and they'd be willing to trade their email for that. So hopefully that helps. Thanks, Kim, for letting me know about the BuzzSumo. I did not realize that they have messed with my free version, because I've been telling people for a while they have a free version. I guess they got wise to that. I'm looking. Any questions that didn't get answered, guys, just pop them in. Like I say, today and tomorrow are tied together. So tomorrow we're going to actually start to put your plan together. Today, my suggestion would be just to look at the 50 ways, do a little messing around, like, you know, play with a couple of tools and that kind of stuff. And then tomorrow we're really going to key in on the plan, because in order for you to be successful going forward with your email marketing, you have, in my humble opinion, the only way I can keep ahead of and stay consistent is to plan it out, because then I know, okay, I know that, you know, on Monday we have a blog going out and it's around this. If I don't plan forward, then it's too easy to talk myself out of doing it. And I would speculate that you guys are probably the same way. So if you can get a plan in place, it doesn't mean that you can't deviate from the plan. We absolutely do that fairly frequently, but we do have a plan, and that allows us to stay on track. And from a consistency standpoint, it's my belief that if you don't have the plan, then you'll just not get her done. So Vicky asked earlier, thanks Kim for posting this again. Do you use that interview content just for the days following the interview, or do you stretch it out longer? It goes into, so like, it depends. So great question. Like for example, some of the content lives on in like an IGTV. So an IGTV, you know, you now can have kind of like a playlist concept, right? It obviously that content lives on my fan page, or my business page on Facebook, and we create playlists there too. Same with YouTube. That content can obviously live on YouTube. And then we also create what's called queues inside of Agora Pulse, so that content circulates. So it's posted the first time, you know, as soon as we get the content created, it's posted. And then it goes into a queue on Agora Pulse, and that, you know, it's mixed up and it'll be cycled and reshared consistently over a period of time. You know, we space it out and intermingle it with our other content. So the short answer is most of the content will be recycled over and over again. I'm not sure what Monster Pro is. Monster Pro, actually, hang on. It might be, let me move this up. Okay. It's Monster Insights. Okay. I was like, I know what Monster Insights is. Okay, good. All right. I was like, Monster Pro, I've not heard of that one. So Danette says, I have my 90-day plan and starting to load things in it. Good. And like I say, tomorrow, I've built out an entire year's worth of ideas for you. But again, they're not like set in stone by any means. But the reason I put a plan together is if you don't have blog content and you don't have any intention of creating blog content, what kind of content can you send to your list consistently that is going to engage them? So that is checked one box, you know, because there are some that aren't there yet. And I know that. And then my encouragement, though, to those of you even that might be blogging or might have additional content, is to weave in some of the ideas that I've shared with you that you'll get tomorrow, simply because they are more about building relationships. And I think lots of times, and I certainly feel that this is something we need to circle back to internally too, is that, you know, connection, that relationship, focusing on that. It's not always just about, hey, here's a blog post and I hope you like it kind of thing. Sometimes it's just getting personal and let people see that authentic side of you. So we'll break that down tomorrow and take a look at it. And then you guys can, like I say, pick and choose. Some of the topics may be perfect as they are. And then some you may just need to shift. You know, I call it doing a word replacement here and there based on your own niches. So we'll, like I say, we'll dig into that tomorrow. I'll be here 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll, like I say, that'll be kind of, it'll be your roadmap essentially for making sure that you consistently email your list. All right. So is there a real difference between a blog and a website? So a blog is on a website. It resides on a website. So let me show you mine just to, just a second. Let me pull it up here. Let me pull up my page. Great question, by the way. Okay, so here's my current website, and you'll notice I have blog up here. So again, this is the website. If I click on blog, then it'll open up my content essentially. Now that's one way to get to the blog, but you can also see that I feature the blog here on the primary website too, or the homepage, if best that is what it is, the homepage of my website. So essentially, you can, and then let me back up to answer your question in another way too. You can have, blog, website, can you once live without the other one? The short answer is that you can technically have a blog and not have it'll be on a website because it is a website. A blog is a website still, but you may not have all the other pieces of a website. Like you might not have, you know, an about page or, you know, whatever. Your primary focus is just the blog. I have seen blogs that's true. Alita, no, I haven't. The 90-day plan is, actually it's a year plan. I've talked about it today, but we're going to be rolling it out tomorrow. Danette saying, I love using calendars to backward plan. That's one of the strategies I teach my clients when we are in a strategy session. Good. Excellent. Honestly, that is something that I have struggled with. So when I first started blogging, I would publish a blog every Monday morning, and it would be Sunday afternoon every Sunday. And I would be trying to figure out what I was going to write, and get it done before Monday morning. It was so painful. But then when I finally committed to a plan, I'll be totally honest with you guys. This was about 2 years ago when we finally got serious about having a plan. We developed a 6-month plan, put it into action, and I have never looked back. It's like gold now. It's like, okay, what's our plan? Let's go back to the plan. We've sometimes moved things around, but it has made such a huge difference. And not, you know, focused from a week to week strategy, which was what I call flying by the seat of my pants. And I did that for years. Yes, Susie, girl, what I just said is so true for me. I literally have built multiple businesses by the seat of my pants. And, you know, not having a plan and always being in reaction mode, just having been on both sides of that fence, I'm here to say a plan is the way to go. And it's so much easier, so much better. I don't know. And it's not that the work is any different. It's just that the workflow feels different. It gives you a sense of peace versus the constant, you know, chasing your tail. Best way. I mean, you know exactly what I'm saying because you're there or been there. All right, guys, come tomorrow prepared to like make sure that we are going to get you set up to where you have a plan and you're going to be like, this is going to be really good. You're going to leave tomorrow with a sense of, I can do this. So I think that once you come up with your plan, like I say, you can deviate from it, but having a structure is going to make this so much easier for you. Yes, Susie wants peace. Yes. I love that, Susie. All right. All right, guys, we'll go do it. I'll see you in the morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And see you then. Take care. God bless.